Welcome to installment 134 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will once more discuss positive commandment number 127, the commandment of giving miser, or a tithe, from one's crops or possessions or earnings to give it to the Levite or the poor person. As we have discussed in the past few days, the primary commandment which the Torah refers to regarding the tithing is referring to crops, that a tenth of one's crops must be given to the Levi. This is after the Truma has been separated, the approximately 1/50th of the crop to be given to the Kohen. Afterwards, a tenth of the remainder is separated and given to the Levite. This applies by biblical decree in the land of Israel, although it applies to those foods which have come out of Israel as well. And therefore, one must be extremely careful when buying Israeli products, and certainly even more so when eating in the land of Israel, that these proper portions of Truma and Maaser and so on all have been separated so the food may be eaten. All the details of this law are described in the tractate Maaser. This idea of giving charity in general, and Maaser, a tenth in particular, is fundamental to human existence. As we have explained before in the words of the Chinuch, that it implants in a person his total dependence on his Creator. This brings into a person's consciousness that everything that he has really is only due him as a result of the mercy of God, and only through recognition of this fact does he have the right to utilize it. This is perhaps an explanation of the discussion given in the Talmud about what happened to Rebbe Chanina ben Deisa, who once was sitting eating at his table on Friday night, and suddenly the table, for no apparent reason, broke into pieces in front of him. It just fell apart. The other people sitting at the table asked him, "Why did such a thing happen to you? Why should your table fall apart?" And he answered them, "Evidently, it's as a result of these spices which I borrowed from my neighbor. There were some spices that I borrowed, and I used them in the Shabbos cooking. And these spices did not have Maaser taken from them." And although the Talmud doesn't say this explicitly, evidently the connection between the two things is that since he did not take the Maaser, he did not separate the portion of these spices to bring into a recognized state that all of his possessions belong to God. Therefore, his table, which is also part of his possessions, would fell apart to show that it did not truly belong to him. And so to the food, also he was shown he would be unable to eat it, and since he had no table to eat it on. However, Rabbi Chanina ben Deisa mentioned specifically that when I borrowed these spices on Friday afternoon, I made an explicit condition that I will leave some of them over, and then after Shabbos I will separate these portions of Maaser, which is legal. One is allowed to do such a thing, to separate the portion of Maaser later as long as one leaves over a proper amount. At this point, miraculously, the table came back together and returned to its place after having revealed that he did not use this food without proper permission and without recognizing God's hand in bringing the food to him. Then it was shown that he was totally dependent on God and recognized this, and the table came miraculously back into existence. The Zohar tells a story which shows the tremendous power of charity in general, how it is able to save a person from the worst possible punishment. Once Rabbi Chi and Rabbi Yesi were walking on the road, and they saw by a mountain two other people who were also walking on the path, and they observed these other two. In the meantime, a third person came to these two, Rabbi Chi and Rabbi Yesi saw, and he asked, "Please give me something to eat. I've been lost for 2 days and here in the desert, and I haven't eaten anything." One of them quickly took out his food and gave this hungry person something to eat and something to drink. His partner, however, asked him, "Why are you doing such a thing? You are soon going to be starving yourself for food. You don't have enough for yourself and for him as well, and therefore I'm not going to give him anything. And I would recommend to you also, it's important for you. You will be unable to survive if you give everything to him. And certainly I have nothing to spare for you." And his partner answered, "You don't have to worry about me. I am nevertheless going to share my food with this poor person." After having eaten up almost all of his food, the poor person went on his path, and these two went on their path. Rabbi Chiya, at this point, said to Rabbi Yossi, why was it that God made it so that this person had the chance to do this mitzvah? Evidently, it seems that he did not want to give us the merit of this mitzvah, but God wanted to give the merit to this person. And Rabbi Yossi answered him with his Ruach HaKodesh, his divine insight and inspiration, that perhaps there has been a decree on this person from the heavens, a terrible decree, a terrible punishment, and God wished to give him a mitzvah in order to have some sort of merit by which he could be saved from death. The two people continued to walk on the path, and the Rabbi Chiya and the Rabbi Yossi continued to observe them. Eventually, the one that had given away his food and drink became extremely tired, and his partner, as he had promised to do, refused to give him any of his food, saying that he needed it himself in order to survive. Eventually, it reached such a state that because of his hunger and thirst, he was unable to go further, and the two parted. The one with his food went on his way, and the one that had given all of his food to the poor person fell down in the path and went to sleep under a tree. At this point, Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Yossi that perhaps we should give him some of our food to eat in order that he should be able to live. But Rabbi Yossi again answered him, if we give him to eat, perhaps we will destroy this merit which he has built up. That certainly I see now that it has been a heavenly decree he should die. And God gave him this merit, obviously in a supernatural occurrence, that he should be able to have such a tremendous merit. And in this merit, together with the suffering he is now enduring from hunger, certainly his life will be saved. Of course, Rabbi Yossi, with his Ruach HaKodesh, his divine inspiration, was able to tell this. Certainly we must, being put in such a situation, must certainly give immediate assistance to the person. However, after falling asleep, they observed a poisonous snake on the ground coming close to the sleeping man. And Rabbi Chiya cried out to Rabbi Yossi that certainly the snake is going to kill him. And Rabbi Yossi said, no, I see it clearly that he is very fortunate, he is very lucky that God will now do a miracle for him. And at that minute, another snake fell out of the tree and ran quickly towards this person in order to kill him, to sting him. However, the other snake, the other serpent which was on the ground, came to the other one which had fallen out of the tree and quickly killed that snake, the one that had fallen from the tree. And at that moment, the snake which had killed the one which fell from the tree turned around and went on its path. And at that point, Rabbi Yossi said that, you see, I told you that God would do a miracle for him in the merit of his giving charity to the poor person. And therefore, we were correct in not ruining the merit which he had built up as a result of his mitzvah. And our miracle was done to save his life. Shortly thereafter, the man woke up from his sleep and wanted to go further. The Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yossi came and gave him to eat. After finishing his feast, his meal, they showed him the snake which had been killed, and they told him the miracle which had happened to him. And the Rabbi Yossi extolled and described the tremendous quality of charity, that it has the ability to rule even over the power of death. That when God decrees death on a person, nevertheless, tzedakah, charity, can save a person even from such a decree. Just as we have explained in today's portion of Sefer HaMitzvot, as well as over the past few days, the charity can display and expose the essence of the physical world, that it is totally dependent on God's gracious giving for its existence. On a deeper level, Chassidic philosophy explains this idea of Maaser as related to the entire creation and the true essence of the creation. There is a distinction between Maaser and Maaser Sheni. Maaser is the regular tithe, which we have been referring to in today's commandment and over the past few days. Tomorrow we will be discussing the law of Maaser Sheni, the second tithe, which is taken after the regular Maaser has been taken to be given to the Levi. The second tithe is then taken by the owner and brought to Jerusalem in order to be consumed. Both of them are a tenth of the total possessions, but it is explained in Jewish mystical writings that they represent two different types of a tenth. Ten, in the Hebrew numerical system, could be indicated by the letter Yud. A Yud has the numerical value of ten. And the letter Yud is present in two of the names we use to refer to God. The Yud of Yudke Vovke, which is the first Yud of this higher name of God as he transcends nature. And a Yud is also the last letter of the four-lettered name of God, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, a lower name of God, so to speak. God has he is in nature and rules over nature. And it is the last letter of the word in that case. The higher level of the Yud of Shem Yudke Vavke, the higher level of God as he is, transcends nature, and it is the first letter of the word, this represents the Maisir, the regular tithe we are referring to. And that, since it is higher, this is why it is given to the Levi, whose whole life is devoted to serving God. The Maisir Sheni, which we will discuss tomorrow, that which can be eaten by the owner himself in Jerusalem, this is the lower level of the Yud, the lower type of the corresponding to the last letter of God's name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And the Tzemach Tzedek explains on a deeper, on an even deeper level, that it refers to two different ways in which the world exists in relation to God, two different perspectives on the situation. Maaser Sheni, the lower level, refers to the idea of Bitul HaYesh, that the world exists, but however, when one examines the true existence of the world, one will come to a realization that it is totally dependent on God for its existence, and therefore its true existence, the existence of the world, is godliness. However, the idea of Maaser is even higher than this, the idea of Bitul B'Metzias, not just that the world exists, but it is totally dependent on godliness. But there is nothing but godliness. As we say in our prayers, Ein Oid Milvade, there is nothing else except for godliness. That the world is no true, is no existence for itself. There is only godliness. Bitul B'Metzias, there is no existence whatsoever except for God. And each one of these two perspectives are necessary, and each one has an advantage over the other one. Bitul B'Metzias, to say that there is no existence aside from God, is a much deeper sort of nullification, a much deeper feeling and realization of godliness. There is nothing but godliness. There is no world, so to speak, to begin with. There is only Hashem. And in this way, it is much higher. On the other hand, it shows that there can be only godliness, and there cannot be another existence whatsoever. Bitul HaYesh, the lower level, shows that even in a place where there is a feeling of independent existence, even when there is a feeling of the world, a feeling of being separate from God, even there God exists, and even there God rules totally over the existence. On this level, the world feels itself to be in existence. There is not only godliness, there is a world. But even on that level where we feel the world, we come to a realization that nevertheless the world is nothing separate from God. This, therefore, is the spiritual significance of the idea of Maaser, total devotion to God, total godliness, the idea of the Levi whose total life is directed towards God and serving Him, and the idea of Maaser Sheni, that there is a world, but the world itself is also godliness, which is the idea of Maaser Sheni, which is given to the owner himself, who eats it in Jerusalem, that even though it's his, he recognizes it must be eaten in a holy way. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact us at area code 718-778-5436. That's 778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.